Gospel lesson this week is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day and be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." Okay. I just want to say that this is kind of a tough passage, especially paired with the Moses passage, because first off, I just want to remind you of the situation Moses was in, because I kind of feel like we skip over a lot of that between last week's reading and this week. Last week, he was the baby who was, you know, basically told by Pharaoh he had to be thrown into the Nile, so his mother made a basket and put him in when she could no longer hide him and tried to float him down the Nile, claimed by a princess, you know, Pharaoh's daughter, basically, to go and live with her and basically be an adopted son there. But we definitely skipped over the story of what happened to Moses then, where he basically grew up as, you know, a part of Pharaoh's family, a person of wealth and privilege, but somehow he found out that he was actually a Hebrew. And he found out, and then when he saw an overseer being mean to the Hebrews, he accidentally killed the guy. And so he ended up kind of being a refugee. And the person, the Hebrew, didn't thank him. They were mad at him because they figured it would make things even worse. So he fled from there out into the kind of the edge of the wilderness where, you know, he found somebody and he said, this good priest, I'll be part of his family, live with him and marry his daughter. So he is actually a fugitive from Egypt because he killed somebody there. He could be, you know, imprisoned or treated very badly. And he gets curious about this burning bush, goes over and takes a look at it. And what does he find out? He finds out that it is God talking to him. And God calls him in that moment to go back to Egypt. Oh boy, that's not where he wants to go. He's like, "Oh, let's give you some excuses here, God. You know, I don't speak very good." There's actually an argument that he might have had a speech impediment like stuttering. God's like, "I'll give you something to say and I'll even give you help to do it, but you will go and I will be with you." He tries to make all these other kinds of excuses and God says, "Nope, you're going anyway." You know, if you listen to a lot of these call stories, that's kind of how they go. And I've also heard somebody say that they don't trust a pastor who's always felt they wanted to be a pastor. They trust you more if you're like, "No, I don't want to be a pastor. I'll go try and do something else," and end up being a pastor anyway. You know, God has a way of picking Jonahs and Moseses and these people that kind of don't want to do this and then using them anyway. And I got to say, I think this is kind of an interesting thing that these people don't want to do this task. Moses was sitting here going, "I don't talk very good. I don't know how to do this or that." And he gets picked anyway. And it turns out that God picked very well, because if you stop and think about it, this is somebody that knows Pharaoh's court very well. So he actually can kind of get entrance to Pharaoh's court and do what he needs to do there. And he's given Aaron to help speak for him. He's given all sorts of help when the time comes. And this is a lesson to us, because sometimes we are getting called by God to do something and we are not sure we really want to go there. Even I kind of was not sure I really wanted to be a pastor. It showed up on some of my aptitude tests when I was taking them in junior high school and high school. And I was talking to my dad about it because he was a pastor. And I'm like, and he's like, nope, don't do that. Do anything else. And I'm like, okay, sounds like a plan. I'll do something else. So I went and got my first degree and then got my second degree, took a disciple Bibleship study, and suddenly up on my gifts, they're listing apostleship, which is basically being a pastor. And I'm going, ooh, and I'm like, and on there it said, do you feel called to this? And I'm like, not yet. And unfortunately, not yet suddenly became, oops, now I'm feeling the call. So, you know, it's been noted that I have a gift for this, but maybe I really didn't want to do it. But here I am, because I feel like I'm like Moses eventually said, what God wants, God's going to get, and I'll go do it. But it's just kind of one of those funny things that, you know, I really wasn't hoping to do this. I don't think a lot of us always feel like we want to do some of the things that we're asked to do. In fact, I think we're a lot like Moses, reluctant. What kind of excuses can I give? I'm too busy right now. I'm too old. I'm too whatever your excuse. And God goes, you know what? I can still use that. You're still useful if you listen and obey. You'll find what works for you. And in fact, your unique experiences, the things that you thought might make it harder for you, may actually help you do a better job. And, you know, I also feel like this is what Jesus is facing as he's going and looking at the cross. He's going, I have to keep doing what God wants, but I know this is going to lead to my death. I will be persecuted by the authorities that be, because this is not the thing that they want to hear. This is not what they're ready to accept. And that's sometimes what we have to do, is do stuff that we aren't ready to accept, aren't ready to deal with, but we have to do it anyway. So this is definitely a challenging moment for us. I feel like we have these things that we get wrong, and it just doesn't always work well. But we do the best that we can. And in fact, I think sometimes we do better than that. In fact, I remember one pastor that I met that I was actually impressed by his whole demeanor and how he dealt with the homeless church and poverty outreach church we had on Route 1 there in Northern Virginia. I felt like he just had a real way about him when dealing with these people that were homeless and poor. What do I find out? I found out that at one point he was one of the people that was out on the street. He had been taking drugs, and he had been one of these homeless people until God saved him. And from a homeless person, he turned him into a pastor that could care and love these people because he was once one of them. He knew the trials that they faced. He knew what it was to be homeless. And so he could reach out to them with real love and compassion. And they made him a pastor. What an amazing thing. How often would we look at a homeless person and say, that person would make a wonderful pastor? But God does. It's a reminder to us to always look with new hope and new possibilities in mind. We may not always see and recognize that burning bush, that amazing miracle hiding in our everyday lives. But if we listen to God and listen to what's going on, we might be called to do something about it. And I think sometimes there's a lot of pain and suffering in this. And I hate to say this, but I also think that happens in churches, is we have a lot of jobs we want done, and that can lead to amazing, wonderful stuff. But it is a sacrifice for the people that have to clean the place or do the music, or, you know, there's so many tasks that need done. And sometimes us pastors are too tempted to say, well, it's not really that much work to sit on the SPRC. As long as you don't hire or fire anybody, it's a pretty lazy job and you don't have to do a whole lot. But inevitably, when you do tell somebody, oh, it's not that much work, that suddenly somebody gets hired or fired and you have to do a lot more work. I think that was actually done to me, and I may have actually done that to somebody, so I feel bad about it. But it's one of these things where we do all this, and yet, if you do the work, you sometimes build those relationships as you do that. Because God does sometimes call for us to do something, and there is some suffering and danger involved in it. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that God's calling us to go to Haiti today, but we definitely have been supporting Haiti, and we have gone there in the past when it wasn't quite as dangerous as it is now. This is an opportunity for listening to calls like this, to recognizing sometimes that we are called to go into danger and do things that are sometimes a little risky. It was a little risky for Moses to go back to Egypt. We sometimes have to risk dangerous things, and sometimes we are going to suffer for the risks that we take. It's part of being a good Christian, but it's not necessarily suffering is good for suffering's sake. It's suffering following what God wants sometimes leads to suffering. And I think that's important to recognize that distinction. And I think God is sometimes calling us to do things, and it may be to just work on a committee at the church or something else, and sometimes that takes a little bit of work and suffering. But sometimes it also builds great relationships with other people and helps you feel more connected to the community. And so although you may never have picked to do it originally, it can actually make you have a better life. I think sometimes God is like that. He catches us almost in spite of ourselves, finding ways to get us to do what God wants. And when we do, we get blessed with some wonderful things we never expected. Sometimes amazing things happen if you just listen to that call. Take it in and sometimes accept a little suffering and do what you can. And not everybody is called to be a pastor, but maybe you're called to be a worship leader, or maybe you're called to be on a committee, or maybe you're given some other task in your daily life. And it's just an opportunity to look around you, listen to what God's telling you, and say, ah, here's what God wants from me. And sometimes it can cause suffering, and sometimes it doesn't. But the point is to listen to God, even in your everyday moments. God can speak to you when you're mowing the lawn or washing the dishes or doing any other normal everyday activity, and suddenly you can have that aha moment of what God is leading you to. Honestly, I was not doing a whole lot other than getting ready for a church event when God called me to be a pastor. So, you know, I was just sitting alone going, okay, this is some time to be thoughtful, meditative. And suddenly I heard God's call in the midst of getting ready for a church event. Just because I was the first one in the building turning the furnace on to keep it warm so that we could be ready for game day. You know, funny time to call somebody, but it seemed to be when God could talk to me and I could hear him best, just in that quiet time before the event started. This just tells us that the call can happen at any time. It can help us to see what we're going to need to suffer for and move forward. But it can happen at any time, doing anything. And God calls us just to be ourselves. Part of the reason that God called Moses was his connections in Egypt. Part of it was understanding how he fit into both communities. He could bridge the people between the Hebrews and also Pharaoh's household. And being that bridge was something he was uniquely qualified to do. In the same way, what God calls you to is often something you're uniquely qualified to do. It's something that uses your gifts and abilities, and it will help the world be better. But yeah, sometimes there's a little bit of suffering, pain, or uncomfortableness involved in doing this. And that's why we say you have to take up your cross. And yeah, you don't get to do necessarily what you want anymore. That's the giving up your life. But maybe you get a new life that's even better and more fulfilling because it helps you build relationships with others and love the people around you. So I encourage you all to think about this carefully and think about what we're saying and see if there's something God's calling you to do today. Let us pray. God, help us to have that holy curiosity. Listen to what you're calling us to and prepare ourselves for the suffering that will come. But also remind us that good things come from this as well, that we'll build new relationships, new hope, and new possibilities grow out of all that new suffering. Help us to trust you, to lead us where we will do the most good, and help us to connect with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.